Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Paradigm Shifters. And I know most of you listeners are very busily transforming these days and getting in touch with your deeper values, and the agents of change are going very, very rapidly. So you're going to love this next guest, Myra McCullough. Welcome. And Myra represents her own kind of transformational fitness spa called Coach 2, the number 2, Edify. And she has a lot to say about how you can retune yourself to meet the demands, the hugely changing demands of our society and our consciousness. Welcome to the show, Myra.
Thank you so much, Veronica. I'm so honored to be here. And like I say, vision accomplished.
Well, and I want to know, Coach 2 Edify, before we break it into some amazing pathways that are running through this beautiful central office and this beautiful canvas geodesic dome and the upside down equipment, I just want you to tell us, what is this about? How did you start it, and why did you start it?
I started it out of the need of integrating body, mind, and spirit to my personal training practice. I had been a personal trainer for about 8 years when I discovered yoga. And I finally got yoga after having practiced yoga a few times here and there in my fitness career, which went from being a dancer when I was in high school. I was a professional dancer, so I was always being very physical. But the gym world was something new for me. And after being in a career where I was a filmmaker, and I graduated from film school, I'm jumping around a little bit, but just kind of doing a little flashback just on that background, because it comes full circle and it's really cool how it all does. I graduated from high school to go to film school in UCLA, and you know, I saw myself as a director, producer, graduated and started working immediately with Disney and Hollywood Pictures, traveling all over the world, very successful career. But it was burning me out. And I knew it. And I had an experience where I almost died after my last film, that I was a second AD for a film shot in Easter Island called Rapa Nui. It was directed by Kevin Reynolds. And he was the director of Waterworld and Robin Hood.
Oh, wow.
Great team. Yes, great team of people. And it was an incredible experience having this crew in Easter Island for a total of 6 months. We were supposed to be there 3 months, and we ended up being there 6 months. And it was an amazing experience, very positive, very awesome. But after all these productions, my body would crash us. You work so hard, and there was no attention to self-care at all. You just keep working, working, working. It's like distant location, 12-hour days, and it would go for 6 months.
Wow.
So after those 6 months, you know, and I'm young. I'm here out of UCLA. I was grandfathered into the DGA, Director's Guild. I mean, I was like rocking it, and I had all the energy in the world, you know. And was traveling and having all these great experiences, but finding myself in the hospital with the doctor telling me that 10 minutes more, I would, was a little awakening.
And how old were you yet by then?
I'm sorry?
How old were you then?
I was there, I was probably like 27.
Whoa.
Yeah, 27 years old. Talk about burning out.
Wow.
And so I started making some changes. I went to the corporate world to try to kind of understanding that my body was not created or was not prepared for something like that. It was just, it didn't make any sense. And I stood back from production, because every time it was the same. I would get sick. And so I went a little more corporate, went into marketing, ended up working with a beautiful woman, Carolina Lightcap, who even became the president of Disney Channel not long ago. Beautiful, beautiful person to share this part of my career with. And I went more corporate, marketing. She made me, she gave me the role of being the manager of their marketing department because I was a very good in production. So I was able to bring my production skills to her world that it was very production intensive. So, but also super long hours, crazy hours, you know, and it was just crazy. And then I met my husband, I had my kids, and I knew.
Did you work while you had your children? Did you work at that point?
Well, I was working because I never saw myself not working. You know, it's like I always had a career in my vision of myself, you know. Mm-hmm. But after 2 years of being with my son, I went on a little vacation with him to Australia. And that's where I really got the really clear sign that I really needed to stay home. Uh-huh. And that if I was able to, that if I had the means to do it, which I had at that point, my husband was a very well-known producer of special effects for Disney. And we were blessed to be able to do that in a way. You know, everything became a little tighter, but I did that jump, and that was a big change for me because I had to let go of something very big for me, which was being in this film career. Hmm. And but I embraced it, and I knew at that point that was my truth, you know. And I walked it, and it was a beautiful experience. But in that process, I started getting to know myself better, rediscover myself. And when my husband passed away, 8 years after our marriage, me being a full-time mom, I had to reinvent myself. Hmm. And I had to figure out what I was going to do because I was not going to be able to stay home with the kids much longer. And I had to ask myself the question, where do I like to spend time? And because I knew I couldn't go back to the film industry, my voice would have lost me too. I knew I could go back to that lifestyle because they knew me. They were little. They were 4, 6, and 8 years old. And at that moment, the place that I loved to be was the gym. I had discovered the gym. A few months ago, a doctor had told me for the first time ever that I needed to lose weight. I was like, what?
Isn't that ironic when you're so busy and now you need to lose weight? Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
right. And I just learned, and nobody had ever told me that before. You know, I always was 120 pounds and never lost anything, you know, very active. But that was, you know, I've been a mom for 8 years and not mm-hmm. taking care of myself. It happens. Mm-hmm. So it was the gym. At that point, I had signed up to a gym for the first time ever. The gym was a very new world for me. And by this point, I'm here. I think I'm in my late 30s mm-hmm. around. Yes, around my late 30s. And so it was the gym. So I go, okay, well, I like the gym. And it just so happened that I hear the manager say that they were looking for a front desk clerk. At 5 a.m. I'm like, perfect, because I'm like the morning girl. So I thought, I'm like, perfect for me, because I'm like a 4 a.m. morning bird. I can do 5 a.m. to 12. I'm good. I can pick up the kids. Perfect. And it was, they loved me there because I was, you know, one of their favorite students and whatever. So it was a very beautiful door that opened. And I took it in with great joy. I was getting paid $10 an hour, but I was having so much fun. It was simple, and I loved greeting people. I loved solving their problems, and I was, like, really good in the service industry, and everybody loved me. It was like, oh, my God, we love you, and I was like, the best on this part ever. And I was really enjoying that aspect. I was enjoying serving and being a bright face to people that come in the morning at 5 a.m. I mean, it was a gift that I had. And I really enjoyed that. And it was a woman's gym called Total Woman here in town. And in the gym, that's where I started creating these relationships. And when it was 8 months fast forward that I was like, okay, how can I make more money here? My manager was the one that told me, okay, Myra, I thought you knew this. I thought that's why you came here. You would be a great personal trainer. And I'm like, you know, and I'm like, really? I'm like, it was such a new idea. Like, it never even crossed my mind, ever. And I'm like, And she goes, yeah, my God, you'll be awesome. Can you please try it? And I'm like, what do I have to do? And she tells me all the certifications. And I say, you know, what's the cheapest certification? Because I'm not going to invest a lot of money on this. And it was like the cheapest one was $350, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'll do that one. I'll admit, but I'm not a science girl. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm an artist. I don't know how I'm going to do with the science part. And, but that transformed that part of my life. That was going through that course, just opened my eyes to the beauty of who we are and fell in love with our system and the knowledge that exists for us to take care of it. And it was really, I took a passion that I wanted to spread it to the world. I think everybody should know this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I became the best trainer. People were coming to me. But there was something missing in that process because what I experienced was there was a dependency on me. And I wanted them to take it on their own, mm-hmm. you know, but it's very hard for people to do that. And when people can afford it, it's beautiful. And if you can invest in yourself like that, the more power to you because your money goes where your heart is. But, you know, the taking it a step further to doing it on your own and knowing and being so empowered that you know how to take care of your body 100%. And listen to it, to me, became, you know, a big passion. So I became a very successful trainer there and finally ended up in Equinox Fitness, that is like the Lamborghini of gyms. And when it came to town, yes, I was like, oh, Equinox, I'm like, I want to go there when I grow up. You know, I was so excited about Equinox, you know, it was like, And I really loved the whole career. So I got really excited about it. And that was my new dream. And I ended up getting hired there and becoming the top trainer there for 3.5 years. I was ranked top 10 among 1,600 trainers across the nation.
Whoa, what a girl.
I was doing so many sessions a week. I was nonstop, 8 clients a day, 5 days a week, back to back. It was like a machine. I was a beast. And I just loved it so much. I had so much fun. I was just so in my game and really loved it. And then in that experience, that's when I discovered yoga. And yoga showed me that we were missing a piece in this fitness world in the gym, that personal trainers were missing a piece of this puzzle. And it was that connection with body and mind. Mm-hmm. And I knew as I did yoga as a movement specialist that I am with like 15 certifications that I have with different modalities of movement, I knew that you could attain what yoga was giving us in different modalities of movement. It's not just yoga. So it's not like I needed to become a yogi because I love my weights, I love my cables, I love strength training and plyometrics and cardio. You know, I love all that. So I never saw myself as a teacher of yoga in terms of how it's practiced today in the gyms. They call it yoga and it's the movement with the vinyasa flows, etc. But yoga's really everything. Mm-hmm. And yoga really means
the study of, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And so then at that point in my career, having been in all the tiers that Equinox offered a beautiful career track for trainers. And I went from tier one to tier three plus, you know, all the certifications. And I was even a master instructor there. So I kind of hit a plateau. And I'm always one to be thinking, okay, what's next? Where do I go next? You know? So I had to ask the question, and it became very evident that it was opening my own place.
Good.
And that is supposed to edify.
And people should look online to see Coach to edify, to see some pictures of what goes on there, how beautiful it is. You lived there, right? You were already living there.
I do, yes. And that's part of my sustainability program. Because it's really the choice of staying in my property that I live, that I've been blessed to have inherited from my husband when he passed away. And it's a beautiful property that was created to do what it's doing right now. And
so you have a pool, but you've got an amazing structure out back. What is that?
Yes.
That, Myra?
I have a geodesic dome. I have a geodesic dome that I came across as a solution, a very practical solution to adding more space in my property, because I have a big lot, but the square footage of the house is not that much. You know, I didn't have space for classes or training.
But the dome is made of canvas, isn't it?
The dome what? I'm sorry?
Is made of canvas, isn't it?
Yes, the dome is made of canvas. It was done, it was a beautiful collaborative project by this 21-year-old wonderful engineer. And she was a student from Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. And she took on this project and did it. It was a miracle, you know, the timing of everything. I won't go to that story, but it was amazing.
No, because I want you to tell people some, because Myra, you're not just a fitness person. I want to add another thing, which is you've developed an incredible hub. A geodesic dome is famous for all its little triangles, right? Which I kind of think are the foundation of society and reality. But you're an amazing hub for fitness, but also for consciousness, for commerce. I want you to show us how those arms started to stick out of your wonderful dome.
Oh, well, that was a very transformational point in this process of birthing Coach to Edify, because it's been my own evolution, and I've been learning a lot about myself as I discover, as I trust my instincts and took the dive to commit 100% to it. Leaving Equinox was a very that was not what I was planning. I was planning to retire at Equinox.
It took courage to follow yourself, right?
Oh my God, yes. And that was the courage. How I got that courage was one time when I got very sick and I just couldn't move for 5 days and I was stuck watching TV that I never do. And while that TV I watch, of course, it had to be Gaia TV, mm-hmm. where all the conscious stuff is. And that's what I was drawn to at the moment. And I was drawn to a very interesting image that had two hands coming together, like the two fingers. And it was called the Book of Co-Creation. Hmm. And that thing, it was like a magnet. I was like, ooh, what's that? You know, and I opened it up. And it was this video from 1999, Barbara Marx Hubbard, and talking about the universal species and talking about evolution and consciousness. And it was like, it was the first time I really heard all these ideas. And I stayed in bed all the time watching documentary after documentary, all of Barbara Marx Hubbard. And the last one that I heard was the one that it was on women awakening with purpose.
Yay!
And yes, and the last words that she said in that video, it was answering a question that someone asked her, what would you say to a woman that is, you know, burning with certain ideas and passion? And she said, please, just take it seriously and do it.
Oh.
Do it.
And so
do not take it lightly.
Bed.
And it was like, I'm telling you, it was like my heart was so, it was like I felt literally like a magnet pulling my heart out of bed. And that's when I gave notice to Equinox.
Wow.
And that's been my journey with conscious commerce. And that happened in 2012. And since then, I've been studying with Barbara Max Hubbard and Charles Eisenstein, collaborating with dear friends that are in this movement. Some of them knew it until they didn't know it until they met me, but now they are. And we're collaborating, and it's like my social architect hat. And I found great passion for that. I found, and it reminds me when I was in high school, I was like a delegate of the Organization of American States. So I have this, you know, I have this part of me that is into social architecture. And I'm a big picture person. I think I would be called a visionary. What do you think?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I want to do, I know Myra well enough to go, well, yeah. But also, Myra, before we go, this is going to seem funny, but I remember in Harold and Maude years ago, Maude, who was the older lover of this 21-year-old boy, she was in her 70s, she said, to keep yourself young and vital, you have to turn yourself upside down once a day. And over there in Myra's Ooh. Geodesic dome, she has this... Tell people about this wonderful, beautifully colored sling kind of thing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the dome, and that's so magical. It's like my playground. It's really an expression of my heart. And it was born out of the instruction of just be yourself. It's okay. And I have been. I have just expressed myself fully and manifested this very colorful space that is our portal of fitness and integration. And I have five systems of suspension that are made by a company called Om Gym International. And they are the only company that creates this kind of equipment that has a certification program for suspension yoga and with Sarah Kellett. And that was when my left brain was okay and gave me permission to really leave Equinox 100%, because I learned that I was the first certified trainer in Los Angeles to be certified to use this equipment.
Oh, do you and suspension yoga? Is that what's called suspension?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Suspension yoga.
But Myra, exactly. I have to say, the first time I met you, you had me upside down on one of those. And the things I loved about it is that I used to love hanging by my knees from trees. It's been about 50 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Cool.
But you had me upside down in a minute. That's just a sidebar, but that's one of the fun things of fitness that you brought into this world. So carry on. I want to know more about conscious commerce and so on, but I couldn't resist bringing that wonderful colored suspension tools. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. And it's and it all ties in together, because creating this spaces of community, creating connection, that's what conscious commerce is about. Conscious commerce has new business models to create prosperous organizations that create a flow of wealth among all that are participating. and that it's about connection and tapping into our collective intelligence.
How do they exchange money, Myra? Where's the money part?
Well, the money part is there. It's going to be there. And what I understand, how I receive the knowledge of this is the new economy is currency free.
Oh. Okay.
And it doesn't mean, and then for a while I was like, oh, currency free, okay, we're all doing barter. And maybe back to beads or something, you know? So I'm here playing with beads. I'm playing with barter. I did a time bank program, and we do an exchange program. And that's part of the co-creative community and conscious community more than conscious business. It's bringing community into business and merging the corporate gifts and all the great lessons we have learned with corporate America, which, you know, even though it's gone to an extreme point, like a lot of things do, you know, it got to a point where it's starting to hurt because it got to a little extreme. But now it's about taking those gifts of organization, of metrics, of knowing if things are sustainable or not, because we have systems in place.
And collaboration.
And then, exactly, and that's one of the most important, you know, for us, we have a matrix that is the co-creative matrix and the self-sufficiency matrix. So the self-sufficiency matrix is that part that I teach about taking care of yourself, body, mind, and spirit, but in a way that you learn how to do it on your own. Then there's the co-creative matrix, which is that connection where we tap into that intelligence and we tap into what I call supernatural production. And so that's what I'm trying to help people understand, that we don't have to work that hard to create this dream. You know, we are supported. We're hired by the universe to do this. The universe is going to provide everything. And so that's where I'm at with, you know, it's about manifesting what we need.
Well, is it also things like permaculture and we have a mutual friend, Lori, and she wants to open a restaurant, but they're growing the organic vegetables on a roof or places where people would never consider growing. And I think when you're talking about this collaboration, I'm going, it is like permaculture, or it is like spiritually induced sharing, where the sustainability comes through using everything more than once and putting your solar stuff on roofs and not making it extra, but making it a part of the machinery. Is that right, would you say?
Right. No, because it's all about sustainability. Mm-hmm. So to live the dream, you know, to really live the dream, there are some sacrifices, I would say. It looks like sacrifice, but it's really not, because you really get enriched with less. There's really a place where you have to face the reality that you're not going to be spending so much money, at least for a little while, you know?
Consumerism is kind of antithesis to sustainability, isn't it?
Completely. And that's what I'm learning. Like, at first I had a temper tantrum. I was like, I don't want to be poor. I do not want to be poor. And I was having this, like, little struggle with the universe saying, you know, you need to work this out because I don't want to feel like I'm in lack. Mm-hmm. And that's a big aspect of what we're doing, but that's when we're living in the other world. You know, when you step in and you trust that the conscious commerce way is one of supernatural living, of normalizing miracles and manifesting what we need, we can produce anything. Mm-hmm. But it all starts within. And that, you know, there's a lot of people teaching conscious commerce and business models for conscious commerce, and it's all wonderful information. But it goes deeper than that. Mm-hmm. It really goes
deeper. It's like fitness and then adding yoga so you can get into the deepening of the
Exactly. You know, it's like I'm teaching a class at Soka University, and you know, that is, they have a program, Change Makers program.
Tell us what Soka University is, please.
Oh my God, Soka University is like college evolved, you know, university evolved, higher education taken to a whole other level. And it's a university that their mission is to create change makers, to create peace in the world. And I was invited to teach there by my dear friend Mark Spencer. He's the CEO of a youth empowerment nonprofit in San Francisco, but it's nationwide. He's opened a bunch all over the United States. And
what's it called again? What's it called again?
His company, Yuma Ventures.
Okay.
Yuma.
Okay.
Yuma Ventures. And they help city kids get an education and you know, fulfill their dreams by getting them in the workplace and all that. And through a very deep conversation Mark and I had, we realized that these kids, yes, we can give them all the tools to go back to corporate America, but let's make sure that we're not repeating the same mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's make sure that we're not sending them off to, because these kids don't want what they left with their parents. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't healthy. A lot of it, because there wasn't self-care.
Well, so if let's go back to Soka University, does it have the same, does it share the principles that Yuma Venture, is it a shared core value kind of thing?
Well, it's a mark, it's part of an enterprise that's what's called conscious commerce or purpose-driven economy. These are all new systems in the economic world and the finances world.
Mm.
And this is a new branch of economics and business. So because he's the CEO and he's a doctor on studies on empowering youth and education, he's in a great position to have these opportunities that Soka University invited him to teach the purpose-driven economy.
Hmm.
So in our great conversations about this, he goes, Myra, you need to come and help me teach this class. And I'm like, of course.
Yay.
So, yeah. But also, it's like, you know, we're really integrating that part, which it needs to be the foundation of any new way of thought in the new economy. Because that is the most important, and that's the fundamental until people know how to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't expect to change the world.
Mm-hmm. And also because you're talking about collaboration and you're talking about like community outreach consciousness and so on, we need to have enough arms sticking out of, for example, Soka College to have people be able to live into the tracks of these of this conscious commerce, don't we? We need to
absolutely. Yeah, and we need to do our, you know, our checks and balances, because it's very easy to fall into money-making patterns. You know, we know there's a lot of people really there, you know, kind of embracing. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Can you hear me okay?
Okay. Yes, there was a click or something and it felt different. Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, so what was I saying?
We're talking about the arms reaching out of these core sustainability teaching modes, you know, the abilities to make our way into society holding our values, you know, that needs to be a collaborative adventure.
Right, and exactly, and that's the thing, that the bottom line is that corporate America started going haywire when the values, the ethic code was lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to lose the ethic code when you deal with money.
Because of the fear. Don't you think it's a fear and the insecurity?
Yeah, of course. It's a fear. It's out of fear. I've been there. I have to keep myself in check. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. That's not in alignment. Let's rewind. You know, and the only way to do that is by checking in with yourself daily, having a practice in place where you check in and you take care of body, mind, and spirit.
Like meditation.
If people were
meditation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like meditation, like exercising, because the body knows a lot of these things. The body holds our cellular memory. Mm-hmm. Our body holds all the knowledge we need. And if we're connected to the body, it's kind of a no-brainer. You just go with how your body leads you.
So in your work with the body, do you release resistances and fear and all that in your work?
Well, in very subtle ways. You know, I do it in a very playful way. And the more comfortable I get with sharing that part of myself in my practice, and the more I do guided meditations, yes, they connect it all, because it is all. When the model of our self-care is the building block of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just like for the cell. It's like the building block of everything. You know what I mean?
True. That's a wonderful phrase. That's a good bumper sticker, kiddo.
Oh, yeah?
Don't you think? I mean, yeah.
Good thing we're recording it.
Yes, it is. But also the Soka University, is that, who started that? How old is it? And was it started with the same Barbara Marx Hubbard sort of thing, with the same consciousness which you're radiant of at this point, and so on?
You know, to tell you the truth, I just haven't done that much homework on the history of it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that a lot of people know it because it used to be here in the Valley, actually, the campus. And so it's been probably about, I would say, I get the number 30.
Okay.
Probably 20 to 30 years. So it's still relatively new, you know, and these ideas are still relatively new. I mean, like, their classrooms are mostly in circles. They give the kids the option to create their own curriculum. And then they offer this conscious commerce boot camps, which is what I did with Dr. Spencer, and where it was a 3-day boot camp of them bringing in what they want to change in the world and ending with a pitch to talk to investors about this idea to get the funds, you know, so taking it to very practical, nitty gritty, how you put that desire of your heart of what you want to see different in the world to a very tangible plan that you can present to investors. There's investors out there that want to invest
in something
commerce.
Yes, I see. Okay.
Yes. So it's bringing that business part to all these amazing ideas and making this business sustainable. It's very important for the raising the consciousness of the planet.
Mm-hmm. I would love to go to
get that down.
I would love to go to a conscious commerce boot camp. I hope there are more coming up. Maybe you're participating in one. You can let me know, or creating one.
You know, may I should talk about that with Dr. Spencer. Maybe we can do one together.
I'd love that.
That would be awesome.
I would come for sure. We did do an interview with Charles Eisenstein before as well.
Oh, I love Charles Eisenstein.
He's wonderful. And he was able to talk about kind of the flows of consciousness through humanity as well, and how we get constricted by those. And, you know, it really helped, just adding to your wonderful perspective that you mentioned him as well.
Yeah, I just was seeing yesterday his video. He did a 10-minute movie called Sacred Economics. And I was going over yesterday because it was a piece that really inspired me to. At that same time, I was learning about Barbara Marx Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love these ideas. And I've been trying to really implement that here. And each conscious commerce, you know, it's its own little cell. So it's going to... its own model is going to emerge from itself, but it's a very organic process.
And it's growing around the world, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. It's a global movement. And that's what is so cool, because, you know, you're getting these ideas and you're like, really? Okay, would that really work? But then somebody else is doing it in Australia, or, you know, and that's why I love social media, because we can connect and people that are doing the same things and trying to figure out how to bring our resources together, mm-hmm. and make more for everybody, mm-hmm. you know, because that's what it's all about.
We probably don't need as much if the sustainability factor is at an all-time high as well, you know?
Absolutely. Like, I have one of my participants, he's part of the Time Bank program, and we are collaborating. It's Michael Kalisky, and what we do is, like, he's helping me become sustainable, because mm-hmm. he's an expert in sustainability sciences, you know, and how to produce zero waste, you know.
Is and he the so, fellow who did a film recently that I saw with you?
He was the one who hosted the screening we had for the Dream Maker project.
Yeah, okay.
And yes, that's somewhere that he was able to open the doors of the studio, Charlie Chaplin Studio, for us to have that event there. Mm-hmm. And it was so nice. Yes. And Michael, I'm learning that from him, and then I am helping him establish that routine of self-care and creating his self-optimization sanctuary and working out and getting stronger and, you know, and all that, which is a piece he needed in his life. And being here with a business here, I need that piece of sustainability. I need to make this place more green, you know, because that helps me reduce my cost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's smart. It's the smart way to go. And it feels good to do it. Like, now we do only glass. We don't buy plastic anymore. You know, I tell everybody to bring their towels. Bring your towels. You know, little things like that. You know, like, seeing if I'm going to, you know, I have to do the lawn. I have a lawn. I confess. I do. But I'm working on releasing the lawn. And
what about your children? Are they into this as well? Is it easy for the children to grok this kind of thing? Because I noticed there's actual curriculums on how to teach kids at the Soka University, right?
Exactly. Yes. No. They've been doing every course with me. They've gone through the whole process of this, and they love it. And, you know, they take to some things more than others, but bottom line is that they really got in that piece of loving themselves and finding their passion and really embracing that. So we're all trying to figure it out together. Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping to be one step ahead and in really living that dream, and at the same time manifesting the, you know, the abundance that the gifts deserve, you know, so that I don't feel tied back, because I want to go out and do everything, but but it's about changing my mindset about abundance and prosperity, and really believing that I do manifest what I need. And whenever I focus on that and I'm able to stay in that planet without going to the fear, it does manifest. It does.
Mm.
So I'm working out that muscle as I go along, and that's our work. And we need to support each other in doing it, because it's not easy. We've been trained to do it very differently.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to support each other, you know, in doing that and take care of each other. That's why I love the relationships we have here between all practitioners. And this is something that any other wellness center can adopt, is that we trade session for session. So we give each other a workout session or a Reiki session, and we're working on ourselves constantly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and things come up and we address them together. So it's a lot of community and relationship and tapping to our ability to telepathically tell what each other needs and be inspired to do it mm-hmm. instead of, oh, I have to tell you what to do. It's all about how you're inspired, how you're drawn.
Mm-hmm. And actually walking into your place is inspiring in itself. It feels like, even though you have so much conscious commerce there or a collaborative doodah and upside down activity, walking in it, it feels very homey and very, what would I say? Not chaotic. I don't feel the chaos. I feel the motion. There's a lot of things in motion. Things don't feel stuck. And it's beautiful. So
nice.
You're doing a great job, Dawn.
Yeah. No, and the kids are a big part of this. And we have every program I do in the summer since I started Coach Duelify, their friends were my guinea pigs. They were really, the ones that, I was, okay, I'm doing a nonprofit, so everybody, we're going to do a class, and everybody else, they were following me. I was like, oh my God, they're doing what I'm telling them. Fantastic. And then and we really saw what started coming out of it. And it's so cool because we started that in 2012 was the first summer youth program. Mm-hmm. So that was about 3 years ago. And they were still all in high school. And they were like juniors and middle schoolers. And I put them through this program doing creative expression, yoga, fitness, swimming, healthy snacks. And it was like a really fun program. They loved it. And actually three of them right now are embracing careers in the health and wellness industry. One of them is a massage therapist. Mm-hmm. The other wants to be a fitness professional for more fitness and fitness coaching. And the other one wants to be a dance therapist.
Wow.
And
so you're really inspiring to young people. That's pretty important.
Yes, it is. Because I led them. And so this is a lab where they create stuff. I get a lot of them are musicians. I get here the cousin of Dr. Dre. Comes here every night and they create music and they're here doing music every night and being creative and doing what they love.
Wow.
I'm like, okay, that's hell. I'm sorry.
Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful?
And it's so beautiful how it all comes together. And now we're planning. They're going to be part of the summer youth program. And we're going to do C2E's first music video. Hmm. So they're writing the song. My son, Isaac, is writing the song. And Keon is going to help with the beats. And we're going to dance it out. We're going to do a really funky music video, kind of like Fly Girl style.
Wow. How exciting. Tell me this, Myra. How's your health in all of this?
Oh, my health? I have been feeling the best I've felt for many, many years. Like, wow, I feel so healthy and vibrant. And but recently I got hit in the face with something that it's really helping me take my health to a whole other level. And I had allergies all my life, chronic allergies in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And I've been wanting to take over-the-counter allergy medicines for years, mm-hmm. daily. And one day last week, they stopped working.
Oh, good.
And I'm like, okay, time to look at this in the face. And my eyes got all big, and I'm like, oh my God. So it's been intense, but it's been actually a lot of emotional work. And I have Dr. Kayla is helping me with that. She's done a lot of on me.
She's chiropractic.
It's amazing.
Very intuitive.
Yeah, she's our 3D chiropractor. Mm-hmm. And she's a doctor of chiropractic. So she has all the physiological part really down. And she works with that too. And that's the first place she goes, actually. My body was not wanting to deal with the physical. Wanted to deal with the emotional. Mm-hmm. And it's been a very interesting process, and she's given me very and great homework to do to work through this issue. So, you know, I'm really bringing all I know to this part of my life that needs healing right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm sharing it because we're all in the same boat. We all have things to heal that come up that, and that's the work we do. That's our work. I do everything, you know, everything I teach and tell people is how I live my life.
Wonderful.
And so that's my new learning. Thank you for asking that. So
well,
I'll be reporting back to you.
Yeah, I think it's really relevant to everybody listening. And I thank you for being open and honest. And I know we have to end this, which I don't want to. So perhaps we'd be able to connect again, Myra. But your progress is emanating through your amazing community hub, isn't it? Your progress in life,
mm-hmm.
within yourself and in your community. It's very, very exciting.
Well, one of the things that Barbara Marsh Howard, you know, really inspired me to do is understanding that the dreams that we have are not necessarily for humanity. They're for ourselves. So they're really there for us to grow. And they are filled with all the little tests that we need to manifest our potential and expand our potential. So that work, as I evolve and as I work on myself, I can take it to the next level.
And you are, no, you are taking it to the next level. And we
yes.
need to stay attuned to you and find out how you're at the next levels and how we can all learn from that as well. I'm always amazed that humans are amazingly powerful, but it's
right?
really quite a trick to kind of move through all those levels of identity and restriction and so on, right?
Yes, yes. But connecting is good. And I've always loved our connection. It's been so special since day one, since you landed in my dome. Lori.
I'm coming back soon. And I really I want to spend time there. It's so delightful. And so why don't you tell people how to get hold of you, Myra, because you've got programs coming up and classes and, again, connections to various activities in your community as well.
Yes. Well, coach2edify.org is my website, and that's with the number 2. And Edify is spelled E-D-I-F-Y.
It's a great word, edify. Isn't that a great word?
I love that word. It's always been edify, something with edify, building up. And we have a youth program this summer, the Transformational Leadership Program.
But do you actually
charge?
Do you charge for those programs? I mean, I know about conscious.
There's sliding scales. Okay. Yes, there's sliding scales, and there's room for 5 internships.
Oh, good. Okay, wonderful.
Yeah. So, and if anyone wants to just shoot me an email, Myra@coach2edify.org, and my name is spelled Mayra. Mm-hmm. And you can, you know about us, send me an email. And we're here, we're in Woodland Hills, and we're very community oriented. But we also do things, I do things in Skype and sessions in Skype, and I'm exploring those waters of broadening my circle of influence through the internet by just really cool relationships I've made in Facebook. So don't let that stop you.
And also you send a little flyer or workshop or a newsletter out, don't you, regularly?
Yeah. I announce our stuff, or we're doing our workshops.
So people can put their names on your newsletter, right? Or out
uh-huh.
there to receive your newsletter.
Right. They have to send me an email, let me know.
All right. Well, I have to say goodbye, Myra, but you're going to see me in person soon, so it's not a huge loss.
Okay. Thank you so much.
I've so enjoyed your inspiring enthusiasm and your I want to say, starting from inside of yourself, what a big reach you have and how many people you help. And Janice, Dr. Kalik as well. So thank you.
Yes, and Chef Mo, it's our nutrition arts counselor.
Oh, right.
She's
okay.
Wonderful.
Chef
yes.
Mo, that's right. I've met her briefly.
Yes.
And Lori, your gardener friend.
Yeah, in that landscape, she's my landscape designer.
Yeah.
She keeps the garden.
And you set
going.
Her upside down, too.
Oh, yes, many times. She's gone through beautiful transformation. She's wonderful. Love her very much.
Me, too. All right, well, thank you so much, Myra. This has been very enticing and supportive and inspiring, and we'll talk again, Myra McCullough.
All right.
Also, you call thank it, you. Affectionately, you call it C2E, right?
C2E, yes.
All right, thank you, Myra.
Okay.
Bye.